Hi, I'm Dr. Todd Baker with Zola Levitt Ministries. Dr. Andy Woods discusses with us what is the kingdom. It's not your church, it's not your ministry. And he also shows us from Scripture that the kingdom is yet to come, the kingdom of God, that is. We're here with Dr. Andy Woods. He is one of the speakers at the 2013 Pre-Trib Conference. And Andy is, and I didn't know this, he's a lawyer. He graduated from Whittier Law School. Currently, he is the senior pastor of Sugarland Bible Church. Thanks for coming today, Dr. Woods. And I wanted to ask you, since the conference here, the theme is Israel, and you're speaking on Israel and the kingdom, we were talking before the interview how there are all these definitions of the kingdom that really are not biblical. What is the kingdom as it relates to Israel that is revealed in Scripture?
Right.
If you could give us an overview.
Oh, sure. And it's such a great subject. But, you know, today, every ministry seems to use the word kingdom in their title. At least it seems that way. You know, they're building the kingdom, or they're ushering in the kingdom, or something of that order. And so what I was trying to do in this presentation is just get back to the Word of God and sort of look at, from Genesis to Revelation, you know, what the kingdom is. And really, I would start in Eden, where God is ruling over Adam, and Adam is governing creation on God's behalf. And so God is ruling indirectly through a person. And what happens very early on in Genesis, as we know, is the serpent, you know, slithers in there to Eden, and now Adam is being influenced by the animal kingdom and rebelling against God. So it's a top-to-bottom reversal of what God originally set up. And I believe at that point the theocratic kingdom was lost to the world. And so the story of the Bible is how that theocratic kingdom is restored, with God the Father ruling over the last Adam, Jesus Christ, over an earth, which will be the millennial kingdom. And so that theme really begins to take over once you get beyond Genesis 3. And then we have, you know, the calling of Abram.
Right.
Where God set aside a special nation through which these blessings would be channeled. You know, the kingdom program is really something that is to come to the world through the nation of Israel.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we'll go back really to the Abrahamic blessings, covenant, promises, really, first in Genesis 12, where God says, I will bless you and your descendants, and through you, the world will be blessed. And when you think about it, every blessing that we have today, I'm a Gentile, as a Gentile Christian, has come to us through the nation of Israel, the Scripture, Christ being Jewish, and, of course, this Messianic kingdom, which will be headquartered in, you know, the nation of Israel. And so from there you kind of move into the covenants that God made with this very special nation, covenants involving land, seed, and blessing. They've never been fulfilled in history as much as people try to argue they were fulfilled in Solomon's day or Joshua's day, but it just doesn't fit the details of the texts that are given. But you start to get an understanding that there's coming this earthly kingdom, and then you get into the prophets, and they really start to develop the kingdom. You know, particularly I'm thinking of Isaiah 2,
yes,
1 through 4. I'm thinking of Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. You know, how there be peace in the animal kingdom, and a child will stick his hand into the cobra's nest and not be harmed. And, you know, they'll neither hurt nor kill in my destroy my holy mountain, says the Lord. And so you start to see through this development that the kingdom is very a literal place on planet Earth. It has geographical boundaries. The quality of life that we will enjoy in the kingdom is all revealed there through this nation of Israel. And then just sort of flash forward to the time of Christ, I believe this is the very kingdom that was offered to Israel.
Yeah, conditioned upon their repentance, right? First thing Yeshua said was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the messianic, or the kingdom that would be promised through the lineage of David, right? Which ties in with the Davidic covenant.
Yeah, absolutely. Land, seed, blessing. The seed is developed in the Davidic covenant, where God, through David's line, promised an eternal throne and an eternal dynasty. But, you know, that phraseology that you just quoted, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, what everybody does is they rush into that word kingdom, but they don't factor in everything that's gone before in terms of the Old Testament.
And how it's set up and how it's defined under the prophets.
The prophets, and so, you know, this kingdom is offered on a silver platter. It's declined by the nation. You know, we see that through the sham trials of Christ. We see it through the crucifixion. But really, when the Jewish leadership in Matthew 12:24, here I'm talking about the Pharisees, attributed Christ's miracles to the devil, at that point the expression "repent, for the kingdom of God" disappears from Matthew's gospel. And now Jesus takes on more of a private ministry where he's preparing the 12, which really would be the 11 with the exit of Judas, to be replaced by Matthias. But he's preparing those 12 for the church age, and they're going to be the foundations of the church, which is a new period of time that we're in now. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the kingdom. Today, none of the prophecies that Isaiah spoke of are in a state of fulfillment. So we're in a completely different period of time that I would call a mystery.
Just like Paul calls it a mystery.
Just like Paul calls it. And we read Ephesians 1 through 3, and he develops it because nothing before had been revealed about it up to this point in time in Scripture. And so, well, what happened to the kingdom? Well, the kingdom has not been canceled. The kingdom's in a state of postponement.
Just like in Luke's gospel, right? The parable of, was it the nobleman's son? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And all those parables develop it. And you see, one of these days, the body of Christ, this age of time we're in now, will be complete. And God will translate the church to heaven. Now, has God forgotten about the kingdom? No, God can't lie. And so what we believe is that the kingdom offer will be re-extended to the nation of Israel once again in the time of Jacob's trouble. But this time it'll be different. She won't turn down the offer.
What do you say about those who say, well, we're in this, the church is the spiritual, they're in the spiritual part or aspect of the kingdom in the present age? What's your view on that?
Well, I know that's a very prominent position going back to Augustine in the fourth century, but you know, really what you have to do to believe that is you have to repackage everything that's been revealed up until New Testament times about the kingdom. You know, people say, well, Jesus is reigning in my heart.
And that's the kingdom.
And that's the kingdom. Well, first of all, is Jesus reigning perfectly in our hearts? I mean, why does it say don't grieve the Spirit?
Right.
Don't quite.
Romans 7.
Romans 7, we struggle with sin even as Christians. So I don't. No, Jesus is reigning perfectly in our hearts. But let's say he is. Is that the kingdom? No. Because the kingdom has, you know, where's Jerusalem? Where's David's throne? Where's peace in the animal kingdom? Things of that nature.
Well, and they'll use the verse, I think it's in Luke somewhere, where you'll not say, look here or there for the kingdom of God is within you. And from what I've been told, the Greek there actually means the kingdom is in your midst, meaning the king who was there embodies the kingdom. So wherever he's at, that's where the kingdom is. Would that be your understanding?
Yeah, and one of the things that's interesting is that statement is aimed towards the Pharisees. So obviously Jesus is not talking about the kingdom is
in them.
They were trying to kill him.
Right.
But I would interpret that statement in light of the offer of the kingdom, where Israel was given this offer, where they had a unique opportunity to enthrone Christ at that specific moment. And had they done that, I believe the kingdom would have materialized. So in that sense, it was in their midst. But that offer's been turned down.
Mm-hmm.
And now the kingdom is in a state of postponement. You know, it's not like God got nervous and said, oh no, what am I going to do? Let's create the church as an afterthought. God always knew what would happen. The church is called the eternal purpose of God. God knew exactly everything that's happening is according to God's plan. So the church is not plan B, but it's not the kingdom.
Right.
The kingdom is going to come one day exactly like God said it would. And that's why Jesus told us to pray, thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come. Yeah, the kingdom awaits his return as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Revelation 19.
Absolutely.
He'll come and establish the kingdom. And we look forward to that day. And Israel being regathered, as you know, preparatory for that establishment of the Messianic Kingdom.
Yeah, it's very exciting because many people have told us that all of these kingdom promises are not literal. And then all of a sudden in 1948, yeah. Wow, the nation is back in the land, which is not the final package, but as you articulated, it's preparatory. And all of a sudden you say, oh my goodness, Israel means Israel. Jerusalem means Jerusalem. Nation means nation. So it's, what burdens me is that we're living in this time period where it's so exciting and the church is playing it all down.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
Yeah,
to watch.
That's sad. Well, Dr. Woods, we really appreciate you joining us today. If people want to get in touch with you and learn more about your ministry, how can they do that?
One way to do it is to go to the Sugarland Bible Church website. Okay. That would be www.slbc.org. And I have another ministry called Best Ministries, which stands for Bible Exposition and Systematic Theology. And so if they go to www.bestmen.org, they can learn more about us that way as well.
All right, great. Thanks for coming today.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, God bless you.
All right, thank you.